Welcome to Dial M for Maple, the AV Club's deep dive look at Riverdale. I'm your host, AV Club Senior Editor Mara Eakin, and I'm joined, as always, by Onion Inc. Director of Development Operations, Cameron Sheets. Cameron, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I have a question for you, as this is the first episode of Dial M for Maple, our new Riverdale podcast.
Bring it.
Which Riverdale character are you?
I would love to say I'm a Kevin Keller, nowhere near as confident. Weird. I'm no Jack, as you can tell looking at me right now. But I think I'm an Archie.
Wow.
I think I'm an Archie because I get really caught up in my own drama, kind of forget that there's other more important things going on, kind of forget sometimes I've got like friends that I care about.
Have you slept with a teacher?
I have not. I did have a crush on a teacher when I was in second grade. I had a big crush on my teacher then. What about you?
I'd like to say that I'm like someone cool or whatever, but
right.
I guess I am. I don't know. I want to say I'm a Jughead, right?
Like, yeah, you're
that's
a Jughead,
what everyone
for
wants
sure.
to be.
Jughead sans hat.
Yeah, or like a Betty. Like I'm dark Betty.
Yeah, I noticed the little gashes in your palms.
Yeah.
I was like, you all right?
So I guess the first thing to sort of talk about is why we're doing this podcast.
Yeah.
We'll just talk about it real quick. We love Riverdale.
Oh, God, so much.
There's so many people at the Onion offices here in Chicago that love Riverdale, and there's so many people online that love Riverdale. And we just talk about it all the time. And we were like, you know what? Let's do an amazing Riverdale podcast.
We're always talking about it anyway. Let's put it to tape. I was just talking about it with Josh Modell, who does not watch it. And I described it to him as, and I mean this in the best way possible, Riverdale is like the TV version of that hot person, you know, that's like, I'm so weird. I'm odd. I'm so random. And that's what I love about it. It's just such a nuts show.
I'm weird.
It's so steamy and sexy, but also just like really campy at times. And it's
very self-aware.
Oh, for sure.
Like, they know how silly it is.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like they kind of were, I don't know how the schedule for production of it, it felt like as the first season went along, they kind of like, it felt like they were responding to what people were liking about it somehow, some way. And it's amazing. And it ended up in such a beautiful place.
I agree with you. And we are on the cusp of the premiere for season 2, but we decided it would be a good idea for us to kick off Dial M for Maple, looking back at season 1, which really grew and changed, and it has become the show we've all known and love. What's going on in season 1? We're going to do recaps of each character, then 4 main characters. We're not going to get into like what's up with Midge. But Cameron,
Midge,
what's up with Archie? He's hot now.
Archie is so hot now. He's got abs. Did you see his abs? I hope you saw his abs. They were everywhere. They were all over the advertisement for it. I think, like, looking back on this season as a whole, like, Archie's arc is really interesting. He started out not interesting at all. It was like, oh, Archie's hot, and that's all there is to him. And, oh, my God. Well, I don't even really want to talk about Geraldine Grundy, but, like, that's kind of where things started out. He had this big summer where he slept with his hot teacher. She was just horny as hell. Saw him working construction. And
made a very bad decision. Like, some sort of, like, when would you make that decision?
Why? It was hot. It was a steamy summer in Riverdale.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't question it. But I feel like I feel like this was a big moment for him. This is a big awakening. It, like, made him realize that he was, like, it was a sexual awakening. And he's, like, wow, I have a musical soul and I need to write songs about this.
I'm like rolling my eyes so hard right now, which you can't see on a podcast.
Anytime you heard a song, I was like, this is like a One Direction reject song, a Niall Horan reject song, which, I don't know. So he got really caught up in that at the beginning. So annoying. I don't think anyone liked it. Everyone was like, Archie's the worst part of the show. Literally like halfway through the season, Grundy runs out of town. I think like Alice Cooper kind of called her out. Suddenly,
she disappeared so fast.
Yeah,
I'll say like
really quick. I was like, "Oh,
and
she'll
I was
be
like,
back!"
Amazing, get the fuck out.
Yeah. And we never saw her again. And so the rest of the season for him is kind of him like kind of pushing forward with his musical career. I mean, he has this relationship with Val, but he's also the show keeps throwing it in his face that like he has no idea what's going on. There's multiple times where he like will come up to Betty and Jughead and be like, hey, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, don't worry about it. We're solving a murder. Just don't worry about it.
We're smarter than you.
It's like, oh God, he's such a dolt. But they like the show really kind of plays it up and it's wonderful. And it kind of ends up, it builds to this point where he does kind of get more involved in the crime and with the Scooby gang kind of figures it all out. And then he has his giant hero moment at the end where he saves Cheryl. It's this really big, beautiful thing. That scene is really beautiful, by the way, on the ice.
It's beautiful and it's disgusting.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of blood.
Like, how would you punch through ice? Like,
I don't know,
it's the silliest. Yeah, he's so strong.
All that construction work paid off.
Ugh.
And yeah, I mean, so he's the hero now. And then, of course, the very last scene, hopefully will kind of is a promise that this will continue in season two. You know, his dad got shot. We don't know what happens to Fred. We hope Fred's okay because he's such a good guy. We love Luke Perry, but we don't know. And I think that we're really going to see Archie like be like, oh, yeah, I'm the hero of this story. I need to take charge now.
I love Luke Perry, too. And yeah. I love that they got, like, all these old, like, teen idols to come play parents.
That's such a smart move. It was wonderful.
So I'm going to talk about what happened with Betty.
Catch me up.
Speaking of Archie, season one, episode one kicks off with Betty basically being in love with Archie, which is the old trope, you know, girls mm-hmm. next door, mm-hmm. football player, wannabe cheerleader, whatever. Who is hot, as we've previously stated. Uh-huh. I mean, some people think. But he doesn't like her. Big surprise. Ugh. He's into his old teacher instead, who has a pony, who has a bun, and then she takes it down, which I think is, like, gross, too.
It's so gross.
Along the way, she made a new friend in Veronica, who helped her kind of stand up to her mom and become a river vixen, which is, like, a very sexy cheerleading squad that is, like, almost weirdly ridiculous. Like, how would any parents go to those games and be like, good job, guys?
Yeah, we love our okay.
Yeah. Yeah, work that hair,
like,
or whatever.
Making out behind the scenes, too.
As stated, Betty has a couple of shitty parents. She has mm-hmm. Alice Cooper, who's kind of like a micromanaging hyper mom, and then her dad, who I can't even remember his name.
Hal
Cooper.
How could you forget?
Is kind of a pointless wimp who starts sleeping in the office at some point and then just disappears.
We've all been there, Hal.
She also has a missing sister, Polly, who mm-hmm. was with Jason, may have killed Jason, and we find out she didn't kill Jason. Instead, she's knocked up with a couple more Blossom twins.
Twins, yeah.
So she's kind of like in a nunnery facility, and then she's living with the Blossoms, and then she runs off on her own. That's the Polly update, if anybody really needs that.
I've said this to you separately, but, like, I always was so... Polly's great. Lily Reinhardt is, like, MVP of the show for me. I love her. She's wonderful. I think she's such a good actress.
She's from my hometown, Cam.
Oh, yeah, that's
no
right.
No big deal.
Yeah, so cool. You guys are neighbors.
The other thing that happens, I guess, with Betty is that she goes headlong. It's trying to solve the murder of Jason Blossom, basically to clear up stuff for Polly, and ends up falling in love with one Jughead Jones.
Oh, boy, yeah. Do you ship it, Bughead?
I do. I do like Bughead.
On board.
I'm 100% on board, and I'm like 100% on board with the real life thing, but that's another story.
Oh, boy. We can get into that later.
Yeah. So he goes from friend to boyfriend by virtue of being very helpful and cute. He also gets her dark side, which we can talk about another time, which is fully not explored, I don't think. They're just like, she's dark. And they're like, that's it. She wears a wig sometimes. She has cuts in her hands. But he gets her, she gets him. And at the end of the season, she stands up for him at the Jubilee, one of many town events they have. And for the whole South Side, big time. And then she almost ends up doing it with Jughead on a kitchen counter.
Yeah,
but then
almost.
The serpents come in and moment's ruined. I hope we find out what happens. Like, I think season two, it looks like picks up like right away.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we're, like, time jumping or anything. I don't think we're going to play Mad Men where it's, like, a new season and it's, like, is it a decade later? We don't know until, like, three episodes in. I think that we're going to, like, find out what happens.
Well, Cameron, I want to hear what happens with Veronica happened with Veronica last year, but let's go to a break and we'll come back.
Sounds good.
We'll leave with a little solid Betty moment.
Riverdale's at a crossroads. If we don't face the reality of who and what we are, if we keep lying to ourselves and keeping secrets from each other, then what happened to Jason could happen again. Or God forbid, something even worse.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And we're back at Dial M for Maple. I'm Mara Cameron. We just talked about Archie and Betty, the A and the B. What's up with the V?
Yeah, Veronica. What's up with the V? Veronica, a.k.a. Ronnie, a.k.a. V, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, beginning of season one, hard to imagine. She was the new girl in town, and she was just trying to find her place. Did not take her long at all. You kind of get the sense, and I think she even comes out and says it, you kind of get the sense that she was like the Cheryl Blossom of her old high school, mm-hmm. the HBIC head bitch in charge for a while. But everything that happened with her family, which really becomes important to the plot moving forward, she kind of was like, I'm going to come, I'm going to start out and turn a new leaf, mm-hmm. like time for a new me. And I mean, she's pretty great. I don't think that there's a, I think that she's got a lot of fans. She's got really great bon mots. She's always got like a pop culture reference to throw out there, references Betty Draper. She references, oh, got so many things throughout the season.
She's like a little bit of a Blair Waldorf in some sense. And I like that she's not like, I'm Breakfast at Tiffany's all the time. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
she kind of knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think they all know a little bit what's going on more than the average teen would.
Definitely. And that's another reason why I love the show so much. her story throughout the season, it really becomes like, eventually she and Archie do hook up, as we all know.
Varchie.
Gets real, yeah, Varchie.
It's the worst
Varchie
name.
It is. I don't like saying it. They get so steamy. But like, leading up to that point, a lot of the season is about her friendship with Betty, which I think is wonderful. Like, the show's kind of like taking that known love triangle thing and turning it on its head. Like, everyone knows that's the Archie love triangle, mm-hmm. but not on Riverdale. They're the best friends. Archie, who cares? Well, Veronica does eventually care, because how can you not care about those those abs? But the big thing with her story is her parents. And Hermione kind of starts off the season like also trying to start off on a new foot, and you like really, really like her, but she starts to like really, really manipulate Veronica, and you find out that she's maybe working with the Serpents, still working with Hiram, even though he's in prison.
Yeah, why are they not divorced?
I don't know. I mean, because she's smooching Fred on the regular for a while there.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, also, it's Luke Perry. How could you not? But I don't know. I mean, Veronica, it seems like at times, is like stuck between her parents, and she's like, I think when she has to eventually like testify for her dad, for Hiram in court, she says she's going to do it because of her mom. But then we also find out her mom's pulling all these strings and like getting her to sign the line. And she, like, in the last episode, there's this, Hermione makes this joke about like Veronica using sex with Archie to like get info out of him so he can influence Fred in turn. Like, Hermione, what, she's bad.
I know, she doesn't seem bad, and then she is.
Yeah, she's maybe the master manipulator. We don't know, but I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm so excited for Hiram to come back, and I think that's really going to be a big part of like Veronica's story next season.
I think it is going to give her more of a storyline,
mm-hmm.
other than Certainly. Just like, my dad's in jail. Now he's not in jail.
Right.
He's bad. But we don't know who he is. Mark Consuelos.
Yeah.
He's cool, dude.
I'm so ready for that. Well, I mean, so Veronica, I'm excited about, but I think we really, really, really have to talk about our narrator and everyone's favorite, Jughead.
Downstairs, people were just telling me, by the way, that Cole Sprouse's brother owns a mead brewing facility in Brooklyn.
I've heard about this. Is it not real, though? I heard like someone tried to visit it and there was nothing there, which I love. That's great.
Well, Cole Sprouse plays Jughead, child actor turned adult actor turned mm-hmm. Cool photographer, I guess. not Jughead.
Turned
Cole
heartthrob.
Yeah. So Jughead, you know, he's kind of a dork in the comics. He's a guy that wears a funny hat and eats comics and has a silly dog. He's the comic foil.
Yeah.
Or, eats comics. Eats burgers. Yeah.
He probably eats those too.
Probably. His dog probably does. But in this show, he's a struggling novelist, I guess, or an aspiring novelist. And he is writing a novel about Jason Blossom's death. I guess it's not a novel. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Nonfiction?
I kind of forgot that
True
that's
crime?
Why he's like always narrating, because this is supposed to be him.
I'm sure
reading.
It's excellent because it's a high schooler. It's written by a 16-year-old.
Yeah. He's going to like bring it to an agent and be like, are you kidding me? No.
maybe he'll make it into like a movie like 20 years from now.
I hope
like
so.
Dawson from Dawson's Creek. So he, at the top of the show, he's like estranged from Archie for some reason that is never really explained. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of start figuring stuff out and he starts hanging around again.
Thank goodness.
He is also having some weird human life issues. He lives at a drive-in that eventually is taken over, I guess, by the Serpent/the Lodge family. And then that gets shut down after a night of Rebel Without a Cause. And he says it's another nail in the coffin of the American dream, which is pretty grossly dramatic, but it is high school.
Right.
He ends up then living in a closet at said high school, and then gets back in good with his serpent dad, FP, played by Skeet Ulrich, who I also really like on the show. Because what's he been up to? I don't know.
I don't know, but he's great. He looks good.
I think he was like on one of the CSIs for a while.
Oh.
Maybe. He does look good here, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, that doesn't work. He ends up moving in with Archie and Fred, like the perfect American family. But apparently Fred has like some old DUI and he like can't adopt Jughead or foster him or something. So now, in like a very kind of, oh, it is something with him twist, Jughead is taken in by some mysterious foster family that we'll maybe meet, I guess, in the second season and has to live on the South Side and go to South Side High. So he's like, there's a wrench. He's not around all the time. What's going to happen with these guys?
When they dramatically run down the hallway to like save him from school and he's just like chatting with his new friends.
He's like, I'm cool.
They're like, oh, okay. Got it. Love that moment.
So one of the people of those trying to save him was, as previously mentioned, his girlfriend, Betty.
Mm-hmm.
He's in love with Betty, but he's also apparently going to join a gang. So Southside Serpents, he's going to, in season two trailer, which came out recently, he is riding a motorcycle.
I saw that. The James Hurley from Twin Peaks comparisons are there now.
Oh, no.
I got so excited when I saw that.
James is the worst, though.
I know, but we're going to do that right. I mean, we're going to, like, save motorcycles. We're going to make them cool again. I don't know. That's a dumb thing. I don't know. But everyone's going to want a motorcycle cool after they see Cole Sprouse on one.
And speaking of Cole Sprouse, the thing we love most about Jughead is that he's weird.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
He's a weirdo.
He's such a weirdo.
He just never takes his hat off.
That speech is going to go down in history as one of the best TV scenes monologues. It's barely a monologue. It's like two lines, but it's incredible.
What do you like about it?
Oh, it's just such a, I mean, it's so self-aware in the way that this show is, but also just, I don't know. He's so like mad about it. He's like, I'm weird, okay? Just leave me alone. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful moment. And I don't even, I mean, that overshadows Betty's reaction. I don't remember how she reacts to that, but she's probably just like, okay, cool.
She's like, I'm weird too,
or
whatever it is. We have to go to a break, but we'll go listening to that amazing speech, the weirdo speech.
In case you haven't noticed, I'm weird. I'm a weirdo. I don't fit in, and I don't want to fit in. Have you ever seen me without this stupid hat on? That's weird.
All right, welcome back to Dial M for Maple. Cameron, we have wrapped up season one, I guess. I mean,
for the most part. I guess we didn't really.
Fred got shot. Jughead's on the South Side.
Yep. Cliff is
dead
after being revealed that he shot his own son.
And he was doing like some heroin.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't all about the maple, surprisingly, but God. I love that.
I guess we could have talked about Cheryl, but she's not quite a major character yet, but she will be, I think, in this season.
Major in our hearts.
Yeah, she is very a major, like capital M major.
Yeah.
And she burned down her house. So that's where we're at in the beginning of season two.
And I do have to say right there before we, well, I mean, the big thing I want to know going into season two, right, like she burns down the manor. Where is Grandma Rose? Where's Nana Rose? Did she wheel her way out of there in time? Or did she just burn down with the house? Nobody seemed to care. I mean, they were upset at the end, but it does not get addressed.
Does she live there full time, Nana Rose?
I kind of thought so. I mean, it's
just
a big enough house. Yeah, she just wheels around. I don't know if they have like ramps for her or what she does, but
they just leave her on the second floor.
I love her. She's frightening.
So some other things that I've read, basically, I've been doing some reading.
Yeah,
as like
I
all
know
obsessive Riverdale fans
what can
fans
we expect
do
in season two?
Well, we actually talked to the new kind of like major wrench character at the VMAs, and it's this young lady that's going to play Toni Topaz. I think her name is Vanessa Morgan, if I had to guess off the top of my head. Probably should have written it down. We'll just call her Toni Topaz because I don't call any of the other characters by their real names, except for Cole Sprouse, I guess. So she is, I think, bi, and this is where Riverdale fans are going to get mad at me. She's bi, she lives on the South Side, she's in the Serpents, and she's going to like be part of some sort of love triangle, which to me suggests that Betty is going to be like, hey, what are you doing being friends with Jughead?
Yeah.
Which is such a bummer.
Is Betty a jealous type? Is I almost call him Cole. Is Jughead the type to, I don't know, he's got it pretty good. I would be really upset if if somehow she was able to like weasel her way into their relationship.
Maybe it's just like insecurity. I don't know.
It could be. I mean, right. Obviously, we know there's going to be troubles now. I mean, I think Betty's going to feel weird about him being so associated with the serpents. And maybe that's where the insecurity comes in.
There is some other speculation that that Jughead's not involved in the love triangle at all, and that it's her and like Cheryl and Reggie or something.
Yeah.
Because there's new Reggie. That's the other thing we know.
Oh boy, new Reggie.
Mainly from Instagram.
Yeah, that's very familiar with his Instagram. Interesting. I mean, I know that old Reggie, as we'll refer to him,
film
more of 13 Reasons Why, which how is there a sequel to? But so they recast him, and I wonder. I mean, Reggie was the bully, and he kind of came into play a few times, but I wonder if, like, he's got a bigger role now. It certainly seems like it.
I think so, and I think that there is maybe some suggestion that, like, Cheryl's going to be into him. I don't know.
Yeah, interesting.
Or they hate each other, but they love each other. I don't really know how it's going to work.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I like it.
More reasons for Cheryl to get crazy.
She's not just, like, a one-dimensional crazy person.
She's so good.
Another thing I've heard is that the character that's going to go through the most, well, I mean, the character that went through the most change in season one, according to the show's creators, was Archie.
Yeah.
It's debatable.
I did like the arc. I did argue for it earlier.
A good arc. The character that's supposedly going to go through the biggest arc in the first half of season two is Betty.
Oh, okay.
So what's Betty's arc? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Dark Betty. We got to see that wig again. I mean, do I want to see the wig again?
It's
that
such
like
a
really
bad wig.
Kind of freaked me out, but.
It's like a Halloween store wig. Like, I'm a flapper.
Yeah, I mean, we know at the end of the last season that there are people at school, somebody, I think maybe they're at school, that is out for her in a way, or is trying to slut shame her, or like shame her for being with a serpent, because there was that, like, the pig's blood and everything on our locker.
Die, serpent bitch, or whatever
so,
it said.
Yeah, I don't know if she retaliates. I wonder. And I also wonder if maybe she's just, as she got really invested in season one's big mystery of who killed Jason, like, maybe she takes it upon herself to find out who the shooter is too.
There's really also her brother.
Yeah.
So there is that whole thing. She
of
has
course.
A secret brother, Chick.
Chick. Which is I'm gonna name all my kids that one day.
I wonder if the people that write for the show are ever like, we're stuck with this name.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, like, they could change some things, but I don't know. It's part of the fun of it that we have these weird, like, old timey names in this pretty modern, I guess, story.
Mm-hmm. So maybe she's gonna be out looking for Chick.
Yeah. I think that Chick comes into play. I don't really, Polly was never exciting, but I mean, she's going to have the twins at some point. You can't have like a show without, a CW show without some big like dramatic pregnancy episode. So I'm excited about that. It should be fun to see what happens with the Coopers in general. It's such a kooky family.
Another thing that is circulating online is a picture of Veronica running around in what appears to be some sort of wedding dress. So try and decide what that's going to be.
Yeah, sure.
Everyone's like, wedding rumors on Riverdale? And
well,
I'm like, there's no way.
We know that the show likes fantasy sequences,
and I am fine
with that. Yeah, I love that, too. The more they can, like, kind of connect to the comics, the better in my mind.
Yeah,
Speaking of comics, I think the other, like, big news in the past couple of weeks leading up to this that's Riverdale adjacent but really important to the show is the announcement that they're starting to work on the Sabrina, the Teenage Witch spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
Spinoff maybe is the wrong term, but I think they'll backdoor it. I think it would make sense. I mean, as we know, Sabrina lives in Greendale, which is across the river where Jason tried to flee to, and who knows what's going on in Greendale. But
is there no bridge? Why did he have to take a boat?
Why? Right. I wonder about that too. And also, they knew that Cheryl was going to go, and the last episode, they knew that Cheryl was going to go to the river to be with her brother, and they just found the exact spot that she was. Anyway, I thought about this a lot. But the thing with the Sabrina thing that is so interesting to me is, if she's a character within the Riverdale universe who has magical powers, and that means that magic is possible in Riverdale, and that's been fucking me up, and I can't stop thinking about it, and I don't know why, but I want to know if it's really going to come into play or they're just going to ignore it. But then off on her own, like, adjacent series, for some reason, there's all these dark arts at play or something.
Maybe they sit on, like, different hotbeds or something. Because I've been wondering why there's so much musical talent in Riverdale. Like, why you're basically putting out, like a Destiny's Child and, like, an Ed Sheeran. Do you know what I mean? Like, both of these, like, super talented, like, high schoolers that are going to grow up. So maybe, like, there's a well of music inspiration.
Interesting.
Maybe it's magic, though.
It could be magic, yeah.
Like, zing, music.
I would love to see talking cats in Riverdale. I'm so ready for that.
Animatronics only.
Yeah, please. If there's, I don't want to see a CGI cat. It needs to be a puppet.
So what else do you think is going to happen in season two? I think from, like, what I've kind of read online, there's going to be more Josie stories, mm-hmm. which is like, okay, fine. Yeah. Maybe they'll be good, I guess.
Yeah, I think like a big part of the show now having 22 episodes instead of 13 is we'll get to see more of that, which maybe they'll get us more excited about her character. And I'm all for more Kevin Keller. I want to see more him. Like what happens now that is his sweetheart
Joaquin?
Went off to San Junipero.
Joaquin. Yeah. He had to get on a bus. It was so sad.
Yeah, I think that we are.
There's
going to be more time for those characters and things. I think that we were talking about, it's weird to like look back at the first half of the first season and see episodes that are kind of like dedicated to these like more singular stories that kind of tie into the larger thing. Mm-hmm. But like from episode six on, they're all kind of about this the murder specifically and solving that. So I think we're going to have more just episodes that maybe are a little more hangout vibe-y.
I do hope the show keeps clipping along.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I don't want them to run out of storylines in season mm-hmm. three, but I do like that it's like murder solved. Like, not like, we're not like still, what happened to Clifford, you know, Jason Blossom or whatever.
I think, and I kind of want to, which I'll make sure to plug once the show starts up when we have the reviews up, but I found this quote from LaToya. LaToya's been doing great reviews on the site when the
LaToya
first season was running.
Yeah.
And she had this quote in her review of the last episode of the first season of The Sweet Hereafter, where she says, chapter 13 feels much less like an epilogue for the rest of the season and more like the conclusion to a prequel to the series' real story, the second season.
I like it.
I think that's a pretty smart thing. Like, that was like a tidy season where we wrapped up this big mystery, and now it's going to spin, like, open up the world of it a little bit more. It's going to get darker, as we've been told. It's going to get weirder, hopefully campier. I'm excited. I'm thrilled.
So, Cameron, do you think Fred is dead?
Fred is not dead in my mind.
No, he lives.
Yeah.
Right?
I'd be so sad. Well, I think because what happened, I mean, where does Archie live? Does his mom come back home?
Does Molly Ringwald come back? Because, I mean, in the trailer again, like, he's on the phone with what appears to be his mom.
Yeah.
But, like, I haven't seen any photos of Molly Ringwald up in Vancouver filming or whatever.
Oh, sure.
So that suggests to me, I mean, am I not looking hard enough? Or is, you know, he going to live? Maybe mm-hmm. he'll, like, kind of languish in a coma for a long time, which is, like, a traditional.
Yeah, for sure. They could probably do that. Then they don't have to pay him for as much time on set.
He doesn't have lines. They don't have to pay him for speaking.
Right. I think he's not dead. Maybe he will be in a coma, but I think that that'll kind of be resolved pretty quickly. Obviously, the season's really, at least initially, is going to be driven by, like, who did this? I think it's so interesting. There's that quote in the one episode where Jughead talks about how many milkshakes they had and how safe they felt at the chocolate shop after solving the mystery. But then, like, 20 minutes later, this guy comes in and just blindly shoots Fred. And now it's like this one safe space they thought they had is gone. The darkness seeps in, basically. And we're going to have to find out who did it. I think we got to know. I do have a crazy theory. Maybe it's not that crazy.
What is it?
But I think that, I don't know why, but I think that it's Chick Cooper. And maybe he doesn't even know who he shot. Maybe he has no idea what's going on. But I want to think it's him for some reason.
Why would he do it?
Oh, I mean, they could make up any number of reasons. Maybe he's like mad because he's technically a Blossom and maybe that empire is his. And he's just going into town trying to get some answers. I don't know why he would shoot Fred, but this is my unfounded theory that it's Chick.
I mean, I think they want you to think it's Hiram Lodge's people.
What
I mean?
For
but
sure,
like that means
sure.
It's probably not going to be.
I think so too. It would make sense. I mean, especially because we're going to see Hiram this season.
Do you have any?
Do you have any big theories or?
Not right now.
No.
I don't think so. I mean, I think the Serpents. There's maybe something going on there, but I don't know if it's really as bad as we think.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of more involved, I think, personally, like in some of like the teen drama, because that's like my weird style.
Yeah, I want to see kisses.
Yeah. Are they good? Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing I've heard online is that Archie and Ronica are going to have like a lot more sex this season.
Wow.
Which is like not what I want, but go on, I guess. Fine, I guess. Anyways, let's listen to that. The thing about the milkshakes that you were talking
about. Yeah.
Going into this break and then we'll come right back.
We had many milkshakes that night, and we all felt that as dangerous as the world around us had become, here, at least, in this booth, we were safe.
Welcome back to Dial M for Maple. Last thing we want to do this episode, I guess, is sort of, you know, this show, The actors and actresses on the show, or actors, if we're just going that way, really are so social media dynamic and like use it so much. I was reading something online about Gossip Girl, which is also a show that I loved, also on the CW. And they were saying like the actors on that show existed before social media.
Yeah.
So, you know, those guys were big deals, but they still kind of got to have a little bit of a private life. That's not the case now. But the actors we were talking about yesterday, we think really use social media to their advantage. Mm-hmm. And we sort of wanted to talk about some of our favorite things, social media related, not or not related, that we saw this week online. Cam, what's yours?
Yeah, I mean, I follow the whole cast on Twitter, on Instagram.
Do you follow all of them?
Like, oh, everyone? I don't follow whoever plays Midge. I'm sorry. I'll find out her name and I'll follow her right away. I don't follow Barb either. Barb.
Do you follow like Mansion Amick and stuff?
Oh, does she have Twitter? I follow the core cast. We'll say that. I follow the teens. I got to follow Mansion right now. And this was just last night. Lily, oh, such a good interaction. Lily had tweeted, like it was a diary entry.
9:26.
If
you're listening to this, you know that.
You know that. 9:26, 2017, 9 p.m. Dear diary, I'm still thinking about how Miss Piggy walks all over Kermit. Any letter? It's so messed up, diary. And that was just out of nowhere tweet. Very funny of her to just post that in my mind.
She's good on Twitter. She's funny.
Oh, yeah. She's great. She's so good. And then later, who should respond but Miss Piggy's verified Twitter account? She's tweeting from LA or wherever she is right now. Miss Piggy responds, tell your diary that moi has moved on from walking over the frog. I'm looking for someone new. You got Cole Sprouse's number? And in typical Cole Sprouse fashion, he responds to both of them, ladies, please. And that's it. And I'm just obsessed and I'm ready for the Muppets Riverdale crossover. That Muppet show failed. I think they didn't go dark enough. They should have had...
That's a good idea. Yeah,
there should have been murder on the Muppets show.
I want that to happen. Like, I want to see, like, maybe not a Muppets Riverdale thing, but, like, let's get them, like, in some Muppets-related videos. Like,
I'm so down.
Let's get Cole on Sesame Street. Like, let's do this.
Let's do this. We're all in on the cast.
Yeah, I have no say in this, but I fully support that.
Same.
So my favorite thing of the week is also from Lily Reinhart's Instagram.
She's a gem.
The cast really like goes for Instagram stories. And so if you don't catch like what's on, like if you happen to miss it, like you're not on Instagram every 24 hours, like it's gone. There are, of course, like some stalkery fan accounts, which I fully follow online that like snag the Instagram stories. So if you missed them or if you like clicked past it and you want to watch it again.
The Mansion fan accounts that you follow.
I do not follow any Mansion fan accounts. Those would mostly be Twin Peaks based. But,
sure, probably.
And I'm like only okay on Twin Peaks. But my favorite thing was it was recently Lily's birthday. She may or may not have gone hot air ballooning.
Happy birthday, Lily. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. The hot air balloon.
And she got some balloons in her in her trailer. And so they were kind of messing around. The cast, her and Cammy Mendez were messing around with balloons and doing lines or doing reads as their characters. Kind of with some helium voices, and I really enjoyed it.
It's the most charming thing.
I'll play you a clip of it right now.
Hello, this is Betty Cooper reporting live from Riverdale High School. It is Betty in the blue and gold. Today we are talking about... Hey guys, I'm singing a song today, and I'm like dubbing it out on helium. Yeah.
You snoop while I poop. Snoop poop. Don't blame me for snooping if you're the one that's pooping.
I don't know. It's so stupid. Like, it's a helium balloon, but it's very cute and funny.
It's so weird to think about. I'm trying to think about the show in the vacuum and, like, the cast and how charming they are and how much I love them really informs my feelings about the show and vice versa. Like, I think that, I mean, that's probably part of why it has become, like, the phenomenon. Basically, since the first season ended, went up on Netflix, the cast has been really active. And now they're on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. Everyone, they're like...
Yeah, and I wasn't in love with that cover.
Well, sure. It was just denim.
It's so boring.
I wanted some more. But it's still cool to see them on there. I'm like, oh, my friends.
I know. They like won, I think. That was like some contest. Yeah. People had to vote, but I really thought I really enjoyed it.
It's hot. It's hot right now. People are ready for season two.
And that was another thing on Instagram where Lily Reinhart posted she like always has her hand on Cammy Mendez's leg in like group photo shots. Like she's always like, ooh, I'm touching your leg. I don't know. I liked it. I was like, I did not notice that. But now when you put it in stories with pictures of all the other photos, I like it.
I got to follow more of these fan accounts. Send me some links.
There's actually, if you go on YouTube, people like collect all their stuff and be like, September 27th or whatever. And they post like all the day's snaps from September 27th.
That's amazing.
It's silly and I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, I need this escape.
Speaking of escapes, mm-hmm. We should probably escape for now and escape into our mental spaces where we just think about Riverdale all the time.
Yeah.
But we will be back next week.
Oh, yes, we will.
For the Riverdale season 2 premiere,
I'm so excited for.
I feel like I've been waiting for an eternity.
It's felt like it.
My husband, though, Andrew, was like, he was like, that show's just on. And I was like, it feels like it was forever ago.
It was a long, hot summer and we need it. Now more than ever.
All right. Well, we'll be back and we'll be talking about the season premiere. But in the meantime, Dial M for Maple is a production of Onion Inc. Our theme music is by Stuart Wood, and our engineer is Stephen Holliger. Our producer is Leah Steltenpohl, and our executive director of audio is Mandana Mofidi. The show is hosted by me, Mara Eakin, and Cameron Sheets. Cameron, you're the best.
Thanks.
If you like the show, please tell your friends. They won't even have to try that hard to find it, because we are everywhere from Apple Podcasts to Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and anywhere else you go to get your podcasts. We'll be back next week, and thank you guys for listening. Bye-bye, Bulldogs.
Bye, Bulldogs.